help you with the answer, but just chat to the people around you. How do you know? How do you know that Jesus really died? Okay, come back together. Now, obviously, none of you were there. I don't think so. I look around. I don't see anybody who's 2,000 years old. So how do you really know? How do you really know that Jesus died on a cross? It's an important question to get right because the Bible says that's the reason we can be 100% sure that our sins are forgiven. So we need to be sure about the answer, don't we? Did Jesus really die on a cross? Because there are many people who don't believe that today. They don't believe that Jesus died on the cross. And maybe you're one of those people here this morning. So who's got it right? The Bible or the people who don't believe? And does even the answer matter to us? This morning we're going to play detective. We're going to examine the evidence that John the writer has left us, and he was there 2,000 years ago. So he's got a good idea of what was going on. In fact, he'd been hanging around with Jesus for 3 years. He knew Jesus. He saw it. And we're going to think about what he saw and what it means for us. And there are two clues hidden in the church this morning. The first one's on the screen, but it's also under somebody's chair. So have a look under your chair. Someone has got the first clue for why we can know that Jesus died. It's not a Bible. It's not a hymn book. But someone has got it. It's in that section there, so the rest of you don't even need to look. And it's under a chair. There we go. Excellent. This is why. Should I claim that from you? Brilliant. Here's clue one. It's on the screen. Can you see that beautiful leg break we've got there? I just thought I'd get graphic for a moment. Perhaps you've broken your leg and you've seen pictures like that before in the past. Now, at first glance, this clue doesn't seem to make sense. Whether Jesus' legs were broken or not, well, who cares? Has that got anything to do with his death? Have a look at verse 31. Hopefully you've still got the Bible open. If you haven't, you probably need to, because I'm going to be pointing to it throughout the time that we have together. So do have a look at verse 31 in the Bible. Because according to Jewish law, the day of preparation, everything that's going on around there, the bodies of Jesus and the other two people who hung there couldn't stay on the cross. They had to be taken down, according to Jewish law. So have a look at verse 32. The soldiers broke the legs of those crucified so that they would die quicker. It's not a nice thing to think about, is it? At this stage, hours after they'd been put on a cross, the two guys there with Jesus were actually still alive. People don't normally die from crucifixion that quickly. But have a look at verse 33. It's also in your service sheet as well, so you can have a look down that as well. They come to Jesus and they don't break his legs because he's dead. Jesus was already dead. Killing people was part of a soldier's job. They knew what they were doing. You don't mistake Jesus being died if you're a soldier. You know exactly how to kill someone. You know exactly what the life signs are. You know that Jesus didn't have them. You know Jesus was dead. So that's our first clue. They didn't break Jesus' legs because they were dead. There's a second clue. And the bad news is, it's not there, it's not there, it's not there. It's there when no one's sitting. Amazingly. So if someone could find the clue for me and bring it to me, it's because you're all being very good and sitting in the centre, which is great. Thank you. Clue two, and hopefully it'll come up on the screen, another fantastic picture. We're being medical scientists today. And here's the picture. Jesus' side was pierced. And again, you're thinking, what has this got to do with Jesus' death? And if he was dead, why are they piercing his side in the first place? Well, it may have been to check he was dead. It might have been an act of violence from the soldiers. We don't actually know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that blood and water coming out of Jesus was a sign that he was dead. I don't pretend to understand this diagram up here, but it's supposed to help us to see that the place where Jesus was pierced would have brought blood and water from him. But thankfully, I have another source that would help you. If you haven't got one of these, do pick one up before you go. This case for Easter. In this, the medical doctor, someone who actually is a doctor, not me, explains how it's possible that Jesus, being pierced in his side, could have brought out blood and water. So do take that away if you want to, or come and get that copy of me, because that's our second clue. Jesus' side was pierced. But maybe you're thinking, well, there are these two clues, but how do we know they're reliable? Well, because they were seen. Have a look at verse 35. Jesus' death was seen and testified to. Here's what the verse says. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. Now, we're not told who the man is. It might be the writer John, we're not sure. But actually, the identity is not important. It's the fact that these events were seen and testified to. It shows that we really can trust Jesus' death. He really died. So later on in John, when Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate to ask for Jesus' body, he's asking for a dead body. When Joseph put Jesus' body in a tomb, he's putting a dead body in a tomb. When the women come to put spices in the tomb as part of the burial plan, they're anointing a dead body. Otherwise, none of this makes sense, does it? You don't normally bury someone you love alive. You don't forget the time where you watched Roman soldiers choosing not to break the legs of the man you love, the man you followed everywhere for 3 years, or when that same man is pierced in the side with a spear. You don't mistake events like that. If we had been there, wouldn't we have remembered that? Remembered all those things going on? It's not something we would forget, is it? So we can believe it. Regardless of what meaning you attach to Jesus' death, we can be sure that Jesus really died. He didn't faint. He didn't fall asleep. He didn't do anything like that. He was dead. Maybe we're able to leave it there this morning. We could have our hot cross buns after the service and leave believing that that evidence does point to Jesus being dead, but actually miss the main point. Because the main point is, Jesus' death has got everything to do with you and me. And the reason I know that is because look at the scripture that Jesus was fulfilling. That's our second point, if it's on your sheet. Verses 36 and 37. Jesus' death fulfills scripture. See, these two signs, these clues, Jesus' legs weren't broken and Jesus' side was pierced. They're more than just signs that show Jesus died. They show us why Jesus died. They show us why Jesus died. And there are two more clues hidden in the church. And amazingly, because of where you're sitting, one of them is in the balcony. And no one's there. So, if a couple of children, perhaps accompanied by adults, because we don't like children on the balcony on their own, there is a lamb you're looking for upstairs. If you could go and hunt for a lamb, it's not a live lamb, that'd be great. Hidden in the balcony is a lamb. We have the sound of a lamb downstairs, but upstairs is a lamb, hiding for us to think. And as you look at verse 36, just as they're looking, just think about what you think the connection may be between a lamb and the verse of scripture. They're hunting upstairs. Go towards the back of the balcony, but not right at the back. Matt, you're close. You're very close, Matt. Underneath you need to go. The tension is suspending us. We've got a lamb. Yay! Do you want to bring it down? Bring it down, George. Come and bring the lamb down. Come and bring it to the front so we can all see the lamb. And whilst he's doing that, let me put the first scripture up for you as he's doing that. Where's our lamb gone? Keep coming, George. You can't keep it, I'm afraid, mate. I'm sorry. Sorry, mate. Thank you very much. Give him a little round of applause as he found that. Have a look at verse 36, and it's up on the screen. Not one of his bones were broken. Why has John chosen that scripture? Why has Jesus fulfilled that when none of his bones were broken? Well, that scripture takes us back to the first Passover meal in the Old Testament. That's when the Israelite people killed a lamb, spread the blood over the doorpost, as you can see on the screen, so that the price for their sin was paid, so that God wouldn't judge them as he judged the Egyptians. So that meal at Passover is all about remembering the sacrifice that God needed for his rescue. And as part of that sacrifice, the lamb's bones weren't broken as part of that meal. The lamb's bones weren't broken. So can you see the picture that Jesus is fulfilling? The fact that Jesus' legs were broken doesn't just show that he was dead. It shows that he was the Passover lamb. And that's really good news. It's really good news for every single one of us this morning. That's why we should respond. Because his death isn't just for people who were Jews. It wasn't just for the Israelites. Because if it was, we're in church then, paying tribute to a man in history. And that's it, really. If that's who we're paying tribute to, he might be important, he might have done some good, but he's got nothing to do with our lives, really. He's just for the Jews. But Jesus is much more than that. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is much more than just a man in history. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His death on the cross is for people like you and me today. His blood shed means that the price for our sin is paid and dealt with. And it means that if we trust in him, we won't be judged as our sins deserve. Instead, we know full forgiveness of sins. But there's one more scripture to look at. And now we're looking for a spear. And I'll give you a clue, guys. The spear is behind me. So if a couple of children want to find what might look like a big roll of toilet paper with some foil on it, but really is a crafted spear. Can you see the spear? The picture on the screen might help you. If you want to both carry it, though, because it's quite big, quite heavy. It's not heavy. It might be. Don't take Sophie's head off. That wouldn't be good. It would not be a good start to Good Friday. Excellent. Now, brilliant. There you go. Thank you very much. Give her a round of applause as well. What's this got to do with the Bible? Have a look at verse 37. As another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Where does this come from? Well, it comes from the Old Testament. It comes from the book of Zechariah. It was a day he wrote about, which was a day of mourning. A day where God's people Israel had pierced God. Not literally, but they'd rejected him. They'd chosen to follow the nations. They'd chosen to tell him to shove off. They're in charge. No to his rules. And now, some 550 years later than Zechariah, it happened again. The people had once again pierced God, but now they really had pierced God. They killed his own son, whose hands and feet were pierced as he went to the cross, whose side was pierced by a spear, by a Roman soldier, to show his death. And what was the emotion that the Israelite people were to have? They were to mourn. They were to be sad because they had pierced God. If we're Christians here this morning, if we believe this, if we believe in what Jesus has done, there are a number of emotions we should have towards Jesus. But can I suggest one of the biggest ones on a day like today is mourning. Jesus' death was planned by God. Yes, it's good news, great news, yes. But remember why it happened. Ultimately, because of his love for us, God's Son came and died for our sin. In a moment, we're going to sing these words. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. So today is a day for sadness, a day to be upset because we are responsible for the death of Jesus because of our sin. It's easy to drift over that, isn't it? To go through the rest of the bank holiday weekend and to not give Jesus' death really another thought or our part in it. And it's not me standing here trying to beat us up over the head with guilt. But it is important that we remember that he did it for you and for me. Perhaps we're tempted to walk out here this morning and to reject and ignore the importance of what happened on the cross. Well, if that's us, we'd be in very good company. Because have a look at the Jews at the time. What did they do? They rejected Jesus as king. They hung him on the cross. They were more concerned with keeping the law than worshipping the king of the universe. And then there were the soldiers. What were they doing? They were doing their job. Gambling with Jesus' clothes, making sure he was dead. Totally blind to any meaning that Jesus' death on the cross would have for them. But as we've looked at these clues, as we've looked at the scriptures this morning, can you see what they're missing? Can you see what we might be missing? 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, walked this earth and died for people like you and me. And as we see, as we gather again on Sunday, that wasn't the end. He didn't stay dead. He rose to life, showing that death was conquered, so that if we believe in him, we will have life forever. So Jesus isn't just a man in history. He's the God-man of history. So do come back on Sunday. Do hear the rest of the story. Do pick up one of those books that I showed you at the start of the service. Come along to our next Christianity Explore course where we find out more about this, more about who Jesus is and what he's done. It could be great news for you. But maybe today we've seen the importance of Jesus' death for the first time. That's the whole idea behind John's gospel. He wants us to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to have life in his name. That's why he wrote it. And maybe that's you. Maybe for the first time, that's what you now believe. That Jesus died for your sin so that you can be forgiven. What a great opportunity this service provides to say sorry to God, perhaps for the first time in prayer, and to commit your life to him. So I'm going to give us an opportunity to do that. A prayer is going to come up on the screen. I'm going to lead us in that prayer. And it's in a prayer admitting to God that we need his forgiveness. It's believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we could follow him and be forgiven. So perhaps as that prayer is coming up on the screen, take a moment of quiet, reflect on what you've heard. And if you'd like to echo that prayer in your heart, then do so as I say it now. It's actually on the PowerPoint rather than the Easy Worship. Let's take a moment of quiet. And have a look at that prayer, if that's something you'd be interested in praying. I'm going to say this prayer out loud. If you'd like to echo it in your heart,